bring together a few thoughts, things that have been before us. First of all, in Matthew chapter 13, a verse. Verse 45. This morning, a brother brought before us that we're loved ones, loved of God. If God were to come down, our God and Father, who could tell us each one and stand at our side and begin to tell us how much He loved us, what could He ever say to you and me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when He begins to tell you and tell me as the chosen loved ones of God how much He loves us, what He thinks of us, the truth, I say the truth is God's thought about things. What's God's thought about you and me? When He would stop to tell us what He thinks about us, oh, He'd begin to talk about His beloved Son. He'd never finish. He'd never finish. One in glory with Christ is God's thought about His own. I'm thinking of this verse in relation to what the brother exhorted us this morning. He told us after that, he says, that you and I live in a special day. It's known to us in Galatians chapter 1 as the present evil world. And I was thinking of a line of things, and our brother just mentioned in his prayer. Oh, we are what we are based on that finished work of Calvary. It's made us something new, something special. It's a present evil world, and it's a present special blessing. For those of us who are left for the moment just to pass through this scene. But you're not like you were the day you were born in this world. I'm not. I'm redeemed. I'm a Christian. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself has set His love on me. And I'm something special because of that. He's going to take me, and every believer can say that. He's going to take me, and He's going to set me up, and He's going to say, I want to show how much that God can love. When He does, He begins to talk about the gift of His beloved Son. He begins to unfold the wonders of that man called Jesus. Because He's bound us up in a bundle of the living with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was thinking of this verse in relation to it all. And this is a verse about a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. I was thinking of this character of our Lord Jesus Christ as a merchant man. And he's a merchant man would be one who would deal for profit. He would buy and sell. He would go and find this pearl of great price from which he could make a profit. Oh, beloved, he has done something. He has finished a work that he's going to turn into profit for God. He's going to make it profitable. Connected with John chapter 17, a verse there in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Oh, the wonder of it all. Glorify thy Son. He was exalted up on high and is a reward for his finished work. He's there seated and having won it all and having conquered everything and having finished the work on which our relationship to God is based. A finished work that defines our place in the world today, that really has made and the world as a reaction of the hand of the devil, the enemy himself, to be the present evil world. And from up there, he's going to glorify the Father. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. He's going to turn it into more glory. He's going to turn it into a prophet as a merchant man. Oh, we know from Ephesians 3, we won't take the time to read it, but the church is a special vessel or vehicle for the glory of God forever and ever. It sets those in a place and in a condition and in a position before God that God can tell all his heart out and say, this is how God can love. And by the way, on the other side, we were talking just before the meeting, a brother and I, and if you want to know what the lake of fire is, that's God's thought about sin. He begins to express himself. He never finishes. His thoughts are eternal. But now as he's done that for you and me, I was thinking of it in light of what the brother said this morning about the present evil world. And I'd like to make a few comments on that side of it, because as we are brought today before God, you and I can stand, and in the wonder of it all, we can say, you know, I'm a Christian. I have the privilege to know God. I have the privilege to worship a known God. And I'm found in a world, and this world is shaped based on God's thoughts. There was a man in John chapter 9, we'll refer to it. At the time of John chapter 9, there was a man who was born blind. This man never seen. One day the Lord gave him sight. I don't want to go to that verse. I just want to refer to a few scriptures without reading them for time's sake. When that man, to his parents, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? He was a cause of reproach, a potential reproach to his parents as blind, and they would lead him out every day and sit him down by the sidewalk or by the wayside. He was a beggar, and he had a son that was blind and a beggar, a cause of reproach to him, to them. One day he could see. He'd never seen his parents before physically, and he had never seen them spiritually either, but he comes home and he said, well, how did this happen? He says, a man called Jesus. And you know, he was a greater reproach to them with the name of Jesus. Now he could see than he had been before. Do we understand what this present evil world is? And when that man came in and he said, I can see. Well, how can that happen? A man called Jesus. And they tried everything they could to squelch that. They tried everything they could to put that out, the light of the value of the name Jesus down in this world. That's the character of the present evil world we live in. Remember a brother speaking and speaking on the name of Jesus, and he was saying that was his accusation. What could they accuse him of? They accused him of being Jesus. This is Jesus. They wrote it up over his head. That was his accusation. Who is he? It's Jesus. If he's Jesus, crucify him. I want to read a verse in Matthew. Uncover a little bit more of this character of this present evil world. Because you and I are called on to change our way of living. We've had Acts 2 before us, and the Word of God came into this world, and the power of the Spirit of God who came down to indwell those that God loves. He sent the Spirit of God down to bring us a sense of His love and holiness. And He came with such an impact into their lives. They changed their way of living. They changed what they did in daily life. They changed the way they lived before God. Matthew 13, I'd like to read a verse. It's verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. Here's what I see in this verse. Here's man, and he stands as he were before God, and he says, I won't hear God, I won't see God, I'm closing myself off, lest God get any glory for saving me. His heart is so, he says, if God's going to get any glory out of this, then condemn me. Now, we know in another gospel it's different. It's a judicial blindness, but it's not seen that way here. It is seen as the man before God, and he shuts his own eyes, lest God should heal him, lest God should save him. Oh, a few thoughts for us to let us know where we are, beloved. You know what you are? You know what God thinks about you? And I ask you again, do you know where you are? Do I know where I am? Do I understand that I'm found in an enemy's land that I'm going through? It's a present evil world. It has a special character for the testimony of God. It has a special character for evil, resisting that testimony of God. I was enjoying the thought, reading some ministry the other day, and it spoke about the enemy. An enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Tares are not just the natural weeds that would grow there, which would be like the sins of nature. They're a special weed for a special field where there had been a special witness. And an enemy has done it to mar what's in that field. The Lord Jesus ain't up on high. Now he's going to traffic in all the glory he's gained to glorify the Father. He will accomplish that. Do we understand it, beloved, that he's trafficking in that finished work? The glory of it all is a merchant man to bring forth more glory. And you and I are caught up in that line of his work now. Well, just to sum it all down to a few thoughts I have. In this present day, in this world, you and I as Christians are left with four spheres of responsibility. And I want to mention them because they've been brought before us in these meetings, some of them have. And if you follow out the verses, and I won't go to them, but there are four spheres. There's the church. If a man will not hear the church, Paul the Apostle could say, gather together with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ for discipline. For God has delegated authority. There's a family. Children, obey your parents, as in the Lord. There's human government. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then there is your work. Servants, be obedient to your masters as unto the Lord. You and I are left here on earth with these four things. I go to work in the morning and maybe I'm the janitor or whatever. I have a place to fill. I leave work, I go to drive home, and I enter into another sphere. I'm out with where human government is there, and I abide by their laws or whatever to live under that sphere of authority. I go home to the house, and I am to be the head of the house because I'm the man, and God has set it that way in the family. And I come to the assembly, and I'm a brother. Now, that's where he's left us, to bear witness of the fact that we belong to Christ. Bear the name of Christ. And just remember that we must remind ourselves that there is, in this world, all the energies of the enemy. Everything can possibly do to mar that in a day of special evil or a day of special testimony of the grace of God. If he can mar the family, he will, because he wants to mar that greater thing, the church. If you and I have an orderly family, what is it for? Oh, it's for that we might enhance the witness of his church. Because of those four spheres of relationship or delegated authority in which we live, the highest, of course, is his church, which is that special vehicle for the testimony for the glory of Christ on the scene. And he will do anything he can to mar that. And we just look around us and we see everywhere the witness to his success in this present evil world. Oh, that we could lay hold of that. That what he has on earth today is a church. You and I, we are brought here. We've had it before us three or four different meetings here. It's been kind of impressed on my soul how he would remind us that we're one body. The Spirit of God leads here, guarding everything that Christ keep His place, that we keep His place up there, that we would have nothing to do with trying to take any of Christ's place as head over His own church, His own body. And whatever there is in the peripheries of our lives, whether it be the government or my work or my family, all of that, whatever it is that needs to be done to set that in order is just merely to enhance that there be no shadow of anything cast across that truth that we belong to Christ, members of one body, and He's trafficking in that blessed fact for the glory of His own Father. And soon when He displays us all in glory, He's going to, in a certain sense, take that pearl of great price and turn it into a prophet. Glory forever and ever, glorifying God forever and ever, as we read in Ephesians 3. We had before us, I just want to point to a couple of verses in Jude, and happily give way to some other brother. Jude, verses 20 and forward. We know that in this little one chapter epistle of Jude, we were exhorted to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. You and I live down at the end of this day of grace, we call it day of grace. We live down at the end of it all. There's so much development. It would be impossible for man alone to dream up so many variations of lies as we see around us in this thing we call its peripheries of the Christ-denying cults that have taken something from God's Word. It would be impossible for man to come up with all those variations of lies. He hasn't got it in him. It takes a special enemy to come up with the variations and all the lies that are around us every day to deceive. And things are slightly twisted, just a little bit twisted. It all comes from that old spirit that says, if it's Christ crucified, and you and I are adorned with the name of Christ to live for His glory based on that finished work of Calvary. Now, as I read this epistle one time, I was reading it, and I said, how do I contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints? Because he says he wants to exhort us to do that, and then he gets off, as it were, bringing us to the need for to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And I thought about this verse 20 and a couple of verses. But ye, beloved, it's Jude, verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'll stop in the middle of that sentence. There are the four things that we had before us the other day in Acts 2:42. They are still with us at the end of this day, just as judgment is ready to fall in the book of Revelation. We get these things: ministry, prayer, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the coming of the Lord, the mercy. There you have, I think, I would say, the Lord's Supper, and then discipline. Of some have compassion, making a difference. And by the way, it was said earlier in the meeting, and I want to just make a comment passing, that discipline is the foundation of the assembly, and later on, a brother asked me about it, and then I apparently talked to the brother, said it, and because I had heard it a couple of weeks before, I understood what it was said, and I'd like to just say this. What defines the difference? What separates? What is the definition? How am I separated from iniquity? It's maintained by a discipline, maintained by boundaries, a known fellowship. We are part of a known, recognized fellowship, seeking by the grace of God, much failure on every hand, to walk apart from evil. How do you do that? It's when you find something that's evil, deal with it. Discipline. It does. It maintains, as it were, a kind of that area of clean in a world of evil. And true, it's founded on the finished work of Christ, the name of Christ we gather to, His person in the midst. It's part of it here. Building up yourselves in most holy faith. That's the Word of God. And I was thinking of that, you know, recently in these meetings, and God writes his book and he says, now you parents and you children and you servants, you masters, he speaks to all of them and is sitting right in front of him. Children hear what's for the parents hear what's for the children, and so forth. He just speaks to them all. They're right there. Most holy faith, once delivered to the saints, he committed this word to you and to me that we hold in his presence and we honor it as he says it directly to me. Faith, once delivered to the saints, and I'm here holding this book for him. And he says, now, build yourself up on the most holy faith. Whatever would come from any other source is going to come, I repeat, from that source that says if it's Jesus crucifying, he's going to get any honor out of it, condemn me. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that is, we have the indwelling Spirit of God who dwells in a believer and in his house. And he would lead you and me to pray intelligently in a day of special wickedness, special blessing. He would lead you and me to pray, as we heard the other afternoon. I thought it was a real exhortation for us to be at the prayer meeting. We pray intelligently as knowing what we are, what we're doing, where we are, where we're going, according to this book. And remember, the enemy is trying his best just simply to divert the simple statements of this book over to some other area. He doesn't care which way we fall off the fence of righteousness and of the truth and testimony, just so we fall off the fence. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying with intelligence as God moves us to pray in this day. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh, beloved, you know, sometimes as we look around, I thought about it in 2 Corinthians 5, as though we were reading that, you know, and sometimes we read those books about how God leads us into suffering to bring us to blessing. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact of the love of God. And that every trial that we ever have, it's not just something that he had to do. It's not just something that he was forced to do. It's something he wanted to do to bring me into blessing. He loved me so much. And I think of when Job, it began to dawn on Job that he really, think about 23, chapter 23 or something we were talking about a little bit before. It dawned on Job that he was in the presence of God. It began to sink in a little bit. And he said, God is of one mind. I can't change him. He's trying me, and I'm going to come forth like gold. He's going to perfect that which pertains to me. And he said, when I think on that, I'm afraid. Oh, we live before a God who loves us so much. The delight of his heart is to bring us through whatever it takes to let us see how much he loves us. How could he ever tell us? How could we ever know God? We're creatures. Only that we're loved of God and he took us up in his hands. He closes us in his hands, beloved, like that. And it isn't that he lets me out there and then lets the trial come on me. No, he opens up a little gap in there and the trial comes in. And the trial, the storm and I both are in that hand. Because he loves me. He loves you. He's going to bring us into the sense of his love. And we rest there forever and ever and ever. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We sat here this morning and it brought to my mind a verse a brother read to us at breakfast. Unto him who loves us. Every one of us coming from different paths of life. And we sat here this morning and every one of us had the same righteousness. We all sat here as bought with a price. Who loved us and gave himself for us. He bought. He sold all that he had and went and bought it. How wonderful that I belong to him. I'm his. And we sat here this morning thinking about the storm that he went through and us in a shelter. And we sang and we thought together unto him who loved us and gave himself for us. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And you know the Lord Jesus isn't sitting up there because things are so bad he can't do anything about it. No, he's sitting up there to the right moment when all us in God will be glorified. He just comes forth. The word is given go forth, and he comes with a shout, and he'll just take us right up there, and all the things, the judgments, as we say, the disciplines we've merited, it'll all be over with. The mercy of God will just lift us up, and we go on to be with him forever and ever. We'll lose everything, beloved. Isn't it wonderful? Everything we've got, we hold it to lose to gain something better. And when he comes, you lose everything to gain something far, far better. Won't it be wonderful to be with him forever and ever? He gives us things. He gave Job a lot of things, I think, in the book of Job. He gave Job many, many blessings so he could lose them and gain something better. That's the God of love for us. Whatever we've got as we pass through this scene, beloved, is something we can lose for Christ's sake and gain the reward that God sees as everything to us. His beloved son. Paul could say, one thing I do. Life is simple if you keep it down to one thing. I want to lay hold of him who laid hold of me. So anyway, we have these four things and just here. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life as we step up into our reward. We possess eternal life now. It is seen in Scripture in two ways. At the end of the path, and it's seen as I have it now, but I'll step into that. Of some have compassion making a difference. And I guess that's having Christian love. And love in our hearts would go out because Christ loves us. And a little bit of the sense of his love for us working in us causes our heart just to reach out like that. This word some is a big word to us to hold by faith. Of some have compassion making a difference for the glory of Christ. As we make our way homeward. These four things, we started out in the book of Acts. The Spirit of God came down on such an impact, and the Word comes to people today. It comes to you and me. It doesn't have much of an impact anymore. But it came to them, it had an impact, and they changed. They didn't go back to the temple anymore and serve God according to the Old Testament. They changed. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And here at the end of our New Testament, just as he's willing to usher us into the day of judgment, he says, go on with that. Keep that up. Again, that part, that wondrous part that discipline plays is found in this verse. Of some have compassion making a difference. We're to be intelligent according to understanding the love of God as we pass through this scene and maintaining the barriers, as it were, the place that is clean for the honor and glory of Christ till he comes for us.